Welcome back to the Children's Hour. Today on the show, we are learning about communication. This episode is our series, Communication Nation, Episode 1, Speaking the Truth, Media Literacy and Misinformation. Lots of information, including learning guides, at childrenshour.org. Look for Communication Nation. We're going to get back with Isha Butch from Common Sense Media. But first, this is Jumpin' Jamie. From Nevermind the Blocks, here's Jumpin' Jamie, right here on the Children's Hour.
Why won't my teacher answer my question? She just smiles and leaves me guessing. Why won't my father answer my question? He just smiles and leaves me guessing. He just smiles and leaves me guessing. Sometimes adults recite some quotes as the only thing they know, with the same results, the same pitch and notes from a long, long time ago. Why won't my mother answer my question? She just smiles and leaves me guessing. Why won't my grandpa answer my question? He just smiles and leaves me guessing. He just smiles and leaves me guessing. Sometimes adults recite some quotes as the only thing they know, with the same results, the same pitch and notes from a long, long time ago. I have a secret I'll let out. Adults don't always know what they're talking about. Why won't anyone answer my questions? They just smile and leave me guessing. Why won't anyone answer my questions? They just smile and leave me guessing. They just smile and leave me guessing. Sometimes adults recite some quotes as the only thing they know, with the same results, the same pitch and notes from a long, long time ago. If it doesn't seem right, it just might not be the whole truth. If you're on the fence of if it makes any sense, you can ask for proof. I have a secret I will shout. Adults don't always know. What they're talking about. So my daughter, ask me any question, I'll never smile and leave you guessing. So my daughter, ask me any question, I'll never smile and leave you guessing. I'll never smile and leave you guessing. Sometimes adults recite some quotes as the only thing they know, with the same results, with the same pitch and notes from a long, long time ago. Sometimes adults recite the quotes they learned when they were kids. Ask them, they choke, it's the biggest joke, the same their parents did. Here is a secret I'll let out. Adults don't always know. Adults don't always know.
This is Communication Nation, Episode 1, Speaking the Truth, Part 3, Bias. We're learning about media literacy from Isha Butch at Common Sense Media. So far, we've learned some of the basics of media literacy and about looking for sources to avoid misinformation. But how can we tell if our media is biased? And where can we turn for trustworthy information?
How can we distinguish bias online?
It really goes back to a little bit maybe understanding who the author of that content is. I mean, there's different ways of thinking about it. There's news sources, and you can oftentimes see by the way in which news, even news companies, can have some bias in the way that they're reporting news. I think it's probably important to just assume that everyone does have bias. And unless you're looking at a very specific factual research piece that has been conducted, oftentimes there is some version of bias because we all as human beings have some bias in us. Being aware of that can allow you to seek out information and understanding of things without just solely going down one particular track, and exploring other perspectives is like a really, really key and helpful media literacy skill to have as well.
Imagine that there's two newspapers in a pretend town called Sunnyville, and they're reporting on the opening of a new playground. The first newspaper, the Sunny Times, celebrates the playground as a wonderful addition to the community, highlighting the joyful reactions of the children and the parents. They focus on the colorful slides and the modern safety features, and they suggest that this is a perfect place for family fun, and they praise the town council for their efforts. On the other hand, Sunnyville Voice, another paper in the town, takes a critical stance. Their story raises concerns about the cost of the new playground, questioning whether the money could have been better spent on other community needs like improving schools or roads. They also mention something about local shop owners who are unhappy because the new playground took away parking spaces and made it harder for their customers to visit their stores. Both newspapers are talking about the same new playground, but they each present the story in a way that reflects differing viewpoints. Is that one way we can think of bias too?
Absolutely. I think a lot of, even with news agencies and news companies, there's just opinion pieces that are a key part of what they are putting out. And so oftentimes that's another piece you'll see. Oftentimes there is a little bit of opinion that gets intermixed with factual information, but really important to be able to decipher and determine what is this fact, is this opinion, and is there a difference between the two?
What are some websites we know that we can trust?
I think it's important to look to news sites, like popular news sites, I think are really great places to start. And there's a lot of groups that verify news articles as well and kind of do the fact checking behind them. And so I would look at popular and common news sources, knowing that they also have political lean one way or the other, but thinking about the .orgs and the .edus and universities often have a lot of really good information and credible sources when you're looking for research are really great places to start.
And like .govs?
.govs as well, yes.
Sometimes there can be .orgs. You have to be a little careful. You can't always verify with .orgs, but you're right. .edu, .gov, those tend to have more reliable sources.
Common Sense often will have like curated lists of reliable and trustworthy news sources that have been vetted by our teams to really think about what is generally the most reliable and credible sources. And so those are really great lists to go off of.
You can find lots of information about what's safe and what's good for kids at commonsense.org. They also have media literacy curriculum as part of their digital citizenship program, and that is available for children ages kindergarten all the way through high school. This is Nick Bayard right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about media literacy and misinformation.
You can't learn it all on the internet, my daddy loves to say. They'll show a lot of things on the World Wide Web, but there's really just one way. Learn how to love, learn how to live, learn how to plan, learn how to give. You sure can't learn it all on the internet. Well, there are a whole lot of things that you can find spending time on the internet. You can research whales and monkey tails and the best toys for your pets. Google the time in Sydney, Australia. Maybe some of your friends emailed you, but you certainly can't learn it all on the internet. If you spend a sunny afternoon online, you just might learn some facts about the way a rocket flies through the air or the shape of different animal tracks.
You can even click on your dictionary, find the meaning of the word discretionary, but you most definitely can't learn it all on the internet.
Can you learn how to borrow and lend? Can you learn how to make a best friend? Can you learn how to shake someone's hand? Can you learn how to play in a band?
Or how to make good conversation? Or how to enjoy vacation? But you sure can't learn it all on the internet. If you ask Google a simple question, you'll get 15 billion answers. You might hear what the president thinks about war or a song about a tiny dancer. You stare at that computer screen all day long, and most of the answers you see will be wrong. Which is why I'm absolutely, positively, and irrevocably sure that we must step away from our computers every once in a while in an attempt to learn how to love, learn how to live, learn how to plan, learn how to give, because you sure can't learn it all on the internet.
You've been listening to the Children's Hour. This episode is part of a special series, Communication Nation, in which we explore various forms of communication. We hope this programming inspires kids, families, and educators to think critically, celebrate our differences, and above all, be kind. This program is made possible by funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities and the United We Stand Connecting Through Culture Initiative, and by the New Mexico Humanities Council. There's a lot more information about Communication Nation, including our learning guides and our podcasts. Learn more at childrenshour.org. Look for Communication Nation.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, along with help from senior producer Christina Stella. Lorraine Archibald writes our educational materials, Chad Shear is our live engineer, and Thaniel is our intern.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.